We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
Do you see that pause? Do you see what I'm talking about? That's why he's always going to get, you're always going to get there quicker.
But that's why he's a star. He knows how to use that timing. Anyway, I am Jim. I'm with Andy Shea and Bob Flounders. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, and we're going to continue with our positional previews for the 2019 season. We did quarterbacks last week. We did the defensive line earlier in our show. You could find all of that stuff with plus everything else we do either on our app, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud.
Website.
You could go anywhere and find it. So how about we talk about wide receivers now? I love this topic. And who wants to go first with my first question?
Me.
All right.
I'll take
Andy.
I'm ready.
All right. Just like the other positions, I want to start at the top. Wide receiver, that means KJ Hamler. How are we going to get him the ball more often?
That's Ricky Ronnie's job to figure out. There's a lot of film that the Kansas City Chiefs put out there that would be a good
copy. I like it.
Example. Look, KJ Hamler's just really good. I'm worried about the other six guys. I'm very concerned about this position. I am not high on the wide receivers at all. It is my number one concern going into the 2019 season for Penn State overall. Not the quarterback, not the running backs, not offensive line, not safety. It's the wide receivers. I have a huge concern about the wide receiver position for this offense. And I love the quarterback, but man, he needs dudes on the other end helping him out. And I'm not convinced.
Bob, you agree?
Not to the extent that he is. I think what gets overlooked is, you know, in 2015, I think, and deservedly so, James Franklin should get a lot of credit for saying goodbye to John Donovan and identifying Joe Moorhead as the guy. And, you know, Bob Shoup was obviously a good DC. Brent Pry is, I think, solid. I think James's biggest mistake was David Corley. And I really think that had quite a bit to do.
I agree.
With what we saw on the field last year. I don't think they were coached well. I don't think they were coached the way James wanted them to be coached. I don't know that they were held accountable. The two veterans,
they weren't
did
confident.
Not command them. Juwan Johnson and DeAndre Tompkins, just there was no leadership there. They did not play well. Trace there were some times where Trace maybe wasn't the most accurate quarterback that he could have been.
Yep.
I think they are due for a huge bounce back. I do. You're right, KJ Hamler, it was criminal what they did in some games.
In the Kentucky game.
Involved in the ball. You know, the guy goes 93 yards for a touchdown against Ohio State, and we're worried about him getting the ball more. I mean, who else does he have to make a big play against to know that he's got to get the ball 10 to 12 times a game? I think the most critical need in this offense is they have to establish a big receiver. The two they like the best are just not big. KJ is a small receiver.
So is
Jahan Dotson.
Yep.
Now, there's a lot of candidates for that role. I mean, it really should be Justin Shorter, but
Daniel George does.
We can talk about it a lot. It is a question mark. I'm not nearly as worried about it as you are. I think if there's 2 years together, like if this year looks like last year, heads are going to roll again. I mean, there's going to be a problem, and it won't might not just be the receivers coach. I think that Daniel George, Justin Shorter, and Dan Chisena are three guys that really fascinate me. And the other thing I would say is I think it behooves Penn State to use the running backs as receivers to take some of the pressure off of these guys, because they have to get their feet wet, and Sean's got to be able to develop a rapport with all of them.
I agree. And here's what I will say, though, is my concern isn't about their talent level or their ability to perform. My concern is that they're not productive. And with KJ Hamler not seeing the ball very much, to answer your question, not nearly enough, they're not as productive as they could be. In other words, it's Ricky Ronnie's responsibility to make this group productive. They need a big one to emerge as a big one. They got plenty of the smaller receivers that can cause mayhem all over the field in many different ways. They don't have a talent problem. They have a production problem. And part of that production problem is inherently built on all the factors that Bob talked about. The other thing is, they were poorly coached. Maybe they lack confidence. They weren't held accountable. They just have to be better at catching the ball. Everything will change if they just become a little better at catching the ball when they have. In other words, catch the one you're supposed to catch. You're going to have drops. You're going to have ones that you could have got that were 50-50s. Just catch 80% of the ones that are thrown right where you're supposed to, where they're supposed to be, and catch them. That is basically where they have to go. I do think they lost confidence as a unit, not because of Trace, but because of Trace. Do you know what I mean? And because of the way they were being coached in the room. It was a twofold thing, but I don't think they lack talent, and I think they could bounce back. I just got to see it because I got to see the production.
Bob, the idea of the large receiver, as a fan last year, I was all a flutter over Justin Shorter.
Yes.
He was the five-star,
right,
best receiver in the country. Nagging injuries. He's a guy, though, 6'4", 235.
Yeah, he got bigger. Can you believe that? I didn't realize. He got – James
he
said –
He had that cheeseburger,
James,
didn't he?
James said he was 230, and he really needed to get on about his weight. He showed up at 235. He doesn't look like he's 235, but I just thought that was funny.
How does he look ready to play? What could you tell us?
He does look ready to play. I mean, I think it is fair to wonder that he doesn't have any fat on him. Is he going to – like, there's a history of some Penn State players that actually – grow into different positions. I think Irv Pankey was a tight end or something, and they had to make him a tackle in the NFL. I mean, Troy Drayton might have been a wideout, and they had to move him to tight end. I just wonder if maybe he's just going to be a big tight end at some point if he keeps growing.
Well, that just turns him into Mike Gesicki.
You just can't play wide receiver at 245 pounds. I mean, you can't against corners. I just don't know how you're going to separate.
Right. Yeah.
I like Daniel George. If you think about last year, KJ Hamler was dynamic, but he's not really – he's a deep threat as a catch-and-run guy.
Correct.
But they didn't have anyone that could stretch the field as like a contested catch guy the way that when they had Allen Robinson and when they had Chris Godwin.
Chris
Godwin.
They
had Gesicki was almost like a big wideout.
Correct.
And even Deshaun Hamilton gave them some of that in 2017. There was no threat of that, really, last year. And as the season wore on, I think everyone kind of figured that out, and they just – the field just kind of shortened on him, and they ganged up on Miles Sanders. They ganged up on Trace, and the offense just couldn't score points.
Yeah, I think I like Jahan Dotson in short mid-range, the way he catches the ball, runs his route, and handles his business. But I know he's also got a little bit of that Deshaun Hamilton in him that he can develop and stretch the field a little bit more to a 20 to 25-yard receiver running a corner route in the end zone. You know, remember how good Hamilton became at being that kind of receiver? And I think there's I see a lot of that in Jahan Dotson. You just have to see it develop and produce like that is what I'm going at. But I don't think they lack talent in any way, shape, or form. I just wonder, the big guys got to be somebody that they can go to.
The big guys, obviously, someone's got to step up. I found it intriguing a couple weeks ago on Media Day, Bob, when James Franklin was specifically asked a question about KJ Hamler. He answered a question about Mac Hippenhammer.
Right. I think Mac is a guy they really like in the slot. Yeah. I think that they do. I think he's a nimble guy. He played a lot. He played a little bit last year.
Did
some good things. And I think when you're making out the list of the top six, he's on the list.
I agree.
And I think he's probably KJ's one. He's 1A to KJ's 1 in the slot. When KJ needs a rest or he's returning kicks, that you're going to see Hippenhammer, out there in the slot.
He also mentioned moving KJ wide and having Hippenhammer in at the same time.
I mean, I guess you could do that. I just don't know if KJ outside, if that makes a lot of sense. He's 5'10", 5'9".
Maybe.
When they play Ohio State, eventually they're going to – Ohio State's got future first-round picks at corner that play press man, And these guys are going to have to win off the line of scrimmage. If you think about 2 years ago and you think about last year, it's great that Hamlin went 93 yards. He caught a three-yard pass and just got loose. Who's going to get off press man against Ohio State and Columbus, get down the field so Clifford can get him
available.
The ball?
There's a reason that Trey said about Justin Shorter, remember, during the bowl prep last year about where he is. And I think the injuries not only slowed him down physically, but when you're that big of a name and you're that big of a recruit and you're regarded as one of the best of the country, to not be able to actually do or have any kind of impact at all, that affects you mentally. So I think he had to sort of, you know, hike his britches up and sort of understand that that the nagging injuries that he had were the impact reason, had nothing to do with you as a player, and sort of figure out that he is a good wide receiver. But I think Daniel George could really emerge as something that is an X factor when we're talking about all of this. That kid could be an X factor.
He holds a pretty significant record, and he only has two career catches.
Two career
doesn't get much better than that.
And who did he catch that pass from?
Mr. Clifford.
Sean Clifford.
The little pump fake to the left to set it up.
Well, it appears that there's a lot of young talent. And what's the expression, Andy? Talent?
Experience matters until the talent gets a little experience.
That seems like it should be the mantra for the wide receivers. Bob, I want to ask you about, throw one more name at you, and that is Weston Carr, the grad transfer. I didn't realize he's a pretty big guy. He's 6'2". Does he factor into this at all?
I mean, he could. I think he's in catch-up mode, and honestly, if he factors in it, if he's a big factor, it means that Justin and maybe Daniel George did not pass muster. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, I don't know if it's good news or bad news if he's the guy that we're talking about at the end of the year. You could say it's a blessing, but I mean, if those two aren't making big plays for Penn State in October, I don't think it's going to be a very good season.
There's two things when I look at these wide receivers that are X factors for me. One is Mack Hippenhammer. He played some last year. He did not do spring because he stuck with baseball. Can he become a guy that they didn't throw the ball to him an awful lot? And maybe that was a Trace and him thing. And it could be. He is somebody that I think could help this group because it's going to be built from the bottom up, not from the top down. I think the wide receivers get better from the bottom up, not from the top down. And I think with that philosophy, I think it's
I'd rather see John Dunmore than the transfer emerge.
Okay, real quick. Dan Chisna, he's 6'3". He's fast. Are we going to see him?
Special teams for sure. Everything else is to be decided.
All right. That's it for this week's show. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Bob. We'll see y'all next week on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.